You know, we've been talking about in this series, Take Heart, we've been talking about how Jesus said in John chapter 16 that in this world we would have trouble, but to take heart because he has overcome the world. And what Jesus was saying to us is that even though in this world we'll experience difficulty, we'll experience things we don't understand, we'll experience heartache, we'll experience a lot of pain. Just as Jesus overcame all of those things, so will we overcome. And God has a great plan and a purpose for your life, regardless of where you come from or what you're facing. And so he says to be encouraged and to take heart and to be thankful in all things, not necessarily for all things, but in all things, because God is in control. And so if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to 2 Kings. I'm going to kind of do a part two to a message that I did in Saturday morning of the Shine Conference. I have a message, you can pick it up out there, and it's called The Death of a Dream. And we looked in 2 Kings chapter 4 at the story of the Shunammite woman that had a son, and that son died. Her dream died, and the prophet of God, Elisha, did a miracle in her life. And we're going to kind of go in there and review this in 2 Kings chapter 4, and I'm just going to kind of paraphrase here and bring you up to speed with what's going on. But there's this woman from Shunem, and she notices that there's this man of God that's kind of constantly going back and forth through her town. And she understands that, man, he contains the power and presence of God. And so she makes a room for him on the roof of her home. How many of you know good things happen when we make room for the supernatural power of God? She says, look, I see that this man's from God. There's a presence here. There's a power here. So she kind of makes an upper room, so to speak. And we know the symbolism there of the upper room. Obviously, the Holy Spirit fell in the upper room on the day of Pentecost as people were gathered. And so this woman, she makes a room there, a room. She makes a place for the power and presence of God. And so she positions herself for a miracle. And sure enough, because as the Bible says, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our heart. Did you know when you begin to delight yourself in God, all of a sudden God begins to birth dreams in your heart and dreams in your life, and even things that you never thought were possible about your life, God can bring those things to pass. And most of those things, when we're outside of God's will, we can't even see them. They're not there yet, and that's an awesome thing when we seek God and we come into God in his presence. God gives us, and through his word, God gives us what the Bible calls revelation, and that's not a spooky word. It just means that God reveals something to us about ourselves or about our lives that we didn't know or we didn't know was possible, but guess what? God knew it all along. God had it planned all along. God had it marked out all along. And so this woman didn't have a son, and Elisha says, hey, you don't have a son. I'm going to give you a son. God's going to give you a son. And she's like, oh, man, this is too good to be true. Don't get my hopes up. This is like my dream. I mean, don't even mess with me like that. He says, sure enough, God's going to give you a son. And the very next year, she had a son. But lo and behold, just like we know in this world has a way of stacking on the pain. This world has a way of taking our dreams and unfortunately turning them into a nightmare. And one day her young son goes out in the field with his father, and all of a sudden his head starts hurting, and so they bring him back to his mother, and basically he dies right there in her arms. And there's the death of a dream. There, you know, her dream, what once was this incredible, she was living the dream. I mean, God gave her the desires of her heart. God, didn't you give me this son? And God gave her this dream, and all of a sudden, instead of living her dream, unfortunately, she's walking in an all too real nightmare. And I believe many of us, maybe it's your marriage, or maybe something happened with your kids, or maybe you're going through, you know, you're involved in something that you never thought you would get involved in, or there's something, your life has taken a turn somehow, something that was once a dream has now become a nightmare. Something that was once so alive is now dead. But what we see, what this woman did, and this is why we need to take heart, when her son died, instead of making plans for a funeral, she made plans for a resurrection. And I want to encourage you, no matter what is going on in your life, never give up on the dreams that God has for you. And your dream, God can bring it back to life. It might come back different. It might look different than you thought. It might take different turns, you know. This, in other words, listen, here's what I know about God. The end of the story is a happy ending. And many times we get in the first couple of chapters and we think we know how the next 20 chapters are going to go until the last chapter. But aren't you glad that God, the Bible says, He is the author and the finisher of our faith. God has wrote the story of your life. God's writing the book of your life. And we come to Him and we come into His story and it goes through pain and hardship. But as we've been talking about, it's in those times of pain and difficulty, the Bible calls the very fellowship of His sufferings, that we are able to know Christ in a way that we didn't know. That's why the Bible talks about in Romans 8:16, it says, you know, that we're heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. And it says we will share in His glory if we share in His suffering. What that means is while we're on this, during our temporary time here on earth, everybody say temporary. Temporary. It's so temporary. Man, it's a practice game. It's just during this temporary time on earth, you're going to experience things that might cause suffering. And there's two ways we experience suffering. Number one, we choose to suffer. In other words, let's say you're a businessman and there's a business deal going down and you could make, you know, you could make money, but it's unethical or it's wrong or you feel convicted about it. And so you choose to take a stand for Christ and not get involved, even though there could be financial gain there, but all of a sudden now you experience financial hardship because you said no to that. You chose to endure hardship as a good soldier for Christ Jesus by taking a stand for God. Let's say there's a group of friends that you have, and you know they'd start getting into some things that you know you shouldn't be getting into. And but these were your friends, but you know if you take a stand that you might lose those friends and there's going to be some pain there and there's might be some suffering there. But you choose to side with God instead of going in and getting into all that sin and messing up your life again. So there's, you choose to side with God, and so there is some hardship there. And you've, you know, you've lost these friends or you know you're away from those friends. But can I tell you this? The suffering, when you suffer for sin, that's a much worse suffering than when you suffer for God. But the other kind of suffering that we experience is the suffering that's out of our control. It's the suffering that we see here with the Shunammite woman. There where something happens in the external circumstances, it's the world we live in. We talked about that. Why is there so much pain in the world? It's because God has allowed man for a season, for a while, just for a moment, God has allowed man free choice, the ability to choose. They can choose good, they can choose evil. Because God created man as free moral agents, and man has the ability to choose. Now, wherever we see selfishness, there's the propensity for evil there. And that's why nations like Zimbabwe, by the way, Africa is a continent, and Zimbabwe is a country. Still hung over from the Saturday night service, okay? I think I said Africa was a nation, whatever. Africa's a continent, but in the country of Zimbabwe, that's why we see when there's an evil dictator there and he's hurting people at the expense of others for his personal gain. And so we see that there's great pain and there's great hardship in the world, and we live in a world of sin and suffering, and that's the world that we live in. But thank goodness, even though we're in the world, we're not of the world. And greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. And through Christ, we can do all things. We can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives us strength. And God has called us to be overcomers. However, in that fight and in that battle, many times things work out the way we want them to, or some things don't work out the way we want them to. But in all of those fights, here's what I want to tell you today. We serve a God that brings dead dreams back to life. And what this Shunammite woman did, instead of preparing for a funeral, she took her son and she brought him to that upper room. In other words, she drew near to God. Draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. She took that son and brought him to that upper room. She made plans for a resurrection. She didn't know how it was going to look. She didn't know how there were no guarantees there. But I mean, in her heart, she said, man, I'm going to fight and I don't know how this is going to end. But I'm going to go after God, and I'm not giving up, and I'm not growing weary and well-doing, and I'm not going to lose the fight as I'm fighting the good fight of faith, and I'm going to learn to endure hardship as a good soldier in Christ Jesus, and I understand that there is pain in this world, but man, that God's peace and God's joy and God's power in my life is greater than that pain. So she brings the son up to that upper room that represents going after God and the power and presence of God, and then some awesome things happen here. We have this great picture of intercession. And at the Shine Conference, I talked about, man, you've got to fight like a Shunammite. This woman from Shunem, it was just unbelievable. So, you know, she runs after Elisha. And I mean, she goes out there and she gets past a servant. She grabs a hold of his feet. And she's like, man, I'm not going back there unless you come with me. Great picture of intercession. She had two things. She had desperation and she had determination. Gang, we've got to have desperation. We've got to have determination. You don't think Pastor Dixon and that team over in Zimbabwe facing death there, man, they are determined to reach those kids. They are determined to save souls. They are determined. We got to be determined to make a difference. We've got to be determined to live for the eternal. So she goes, she says, look, I'm not facing this scene. You are coming with me to face this scene. You're the one that gave me the desires of my heart. Obviously, he's a type and shadow of the blessing of God. You're the woman. You're coming back with me. So here's what happens. The first thing that happens is Elisha sends his staff. He gives his staff to his servant Gehazi. Gives him his staff. He says, go put it on the face of the child. So the servant runs and puts the staff on the face of the dead boy, and nothing happens. Now, let me tell you what the staff represents in the Old Testament. It represents authority. It represents the authority of God. When Moses raised his staff, it represents the authority of God. Did you know as a New Testament believer that you have a staff that represents the authority of God? It's the name of Jesus. It's the name that's above every name. It's the name that has all power and all authority. Now watch. He takes the staff, represents the authority, type and shadow of the name of Jesus. He places it on the child. Nothing happens. And this whole time, see, that staff touched the child, and then Elisha, the man of God, is on his way. And many times, we pray over something in the name of Jesus, and we don't see anything happen. And unfortunately, we just give up. But man, you need to understand that when you pray over something in the name of Jesus, when you put the staff on that, even though you don't see a change on the outward, the power of God is on its way. This is what's going on. He says, look, go put the staff. In other words, it's like marking that thing with the name of Jesus. Nothing happened yet. There was no change on the outside yet. But I'm telling you, when you mark something with the name of Jesus, the power and the authority of God is on its way. The Bible says, thy rod, come on, I'm quoting King James to you, baby. Thy rod, I'll thee and thou you're behind if you don't watch it. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thy rod, the power of God, thy staff, the authority of God. It's a comfort to me. I don't see anything changing on the outside yet, but God, I know that that thing's marked with the authority of the name of Jesus and the power of God is on its way, so I can take comfort in that. So then, the man of God, they go up and there's the boy laying there in the room, and it's incredible what happens, the Bible talks about. Now, how many of you know some of the miracles in the Bible? I mean, it's just flat out. It's a little bit weird. This is one of those miracles you're kind of reading out, you're like, you know, that's it's a little bit strange there. It's a strange one. But what the Bible says here is Elisha, he actually gets on top of the boy. The boy's lying there dead, and he lines up his mouth to his mouth. That's the first lineup. He lines up his mouth to his mouth, then his eyes to his eyes, then his hands to his hands, and lays on top of him. And what's interesting is it doesn't go in the order from head to toe. It goes in the order. In other words, instead of going eyes, mouth, hands, the Bible says the first thing that has to line up is the mouth. The Word of God. Whenever you're facing a dead dream, you need to line that thing up with the all-living Word of God. Come on. Do you know what I'm saying? So first thing, man, whatever we're facing, we put the name of Jesus on that and it's marked. And then we line that dream up with what the Word of God says. And when we line that up mouth to mouth, Jesus says, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, and our words line up with God's words. Then all of a sudden, guess what? We're going to have the right vision. And our eyes are going to line up with God's eyes, and we're going to see His vision for our life. And then after that, talks about the hands. It represents the work of our hands. Talks about doing the purposes of God. We line up with the Word, then we get vision from God. Then we're doing the purposes, the works of God. And if that dream is God's dream and not your own dream, it has no choice but to come back to life. So an incredible thing happens. So he does that. Guess what? Nothing happens on the outside. So then he does it again. The boy's body grows a little bit warmer. See, there's a little change there. And then Bible says he just kind of walks back and forth and prays a little bit. Does it again, and then all of a sudden, the boy sneezes. He sneezes one time. Come on. I bet he'd never been so excited about a sneeze in his life. You know what I'm saying? I bet it was the first time that he saw some snot and said, praise God. So he sneezes. Nothing happens. Sneezes again. Nothing happens. See, the Bible says he sneezes 7 times. Then he opens his eyes and he was alive. The dream has come back to life. What sneezing represents, see, 7 times, he sneezed 7 times. Anytime you see the number 7 in the Bible, it represents the completion of God through process. In other words, when God created the world, it was what? It was 7 days. It was a completion of creation through process. God just didn't come down and in 1 hour said, okay, ready, world, go. And the whole world, you know. It wasn't like a half hour deal. No, it was a process. Same thing with this. Look, the authority, the name of Jesus, prayer and intercession, pain and travail, hardship, not knowing, sees a change, doesn't see a change, change again, grows a little warmer, sneeze one time, sneeze again. Look, many times the miracles and breakthroughs in our life are little by little. Never underestimate the power of God through the process that you're facing. And many people, it's just like when it talks about, in fact, go there real quick. James chapter 5. Everybody say little by little. Many times your dreams come back to life. They come back little by little. It might look different. It might not be the way that you thought it was going to be. It might be in a process. It might be over time, but you've got to fight the good fight of faith. If that dream is God's dream, it has no choice but to be resurrected in some way, shape, or form. How many of you know, look, God, if there's anything that God does well, it's resurrect things. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. If God was like, you know, if he had a title to his name in resurrection, he'd have a PhD, a MBAD, a DDA, and a MBCD, ABCD, FGHIJK. He's the master. Man, this is a great, watch this. James chapter 5. All about patience and endurance, the book of James. In chapter 4, I mean, just a great, God, this is so good. Let me read this scripture. Look, for examples of, I'm not in 5 yet. Just let me throw this out there, okay? For examples in patience and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you can know about Job, a man of great endurance. How many of you know Brother Job had it rough? It was rough. But you know, I think Job could have endured it a lot better if he could have been right there when Satan approached God. And Satan said, and God said, look, God is bragging on his son. Do you know God brags on you? He brags on, God's bragging on his son. He says, hey, Satan, you seen my guy Joe? He's kicking your tail. He's not falling to your stuff. And so, you know, the Satan, the accuser brother, was like, yeah, of course not. You're blessing him and, you know, you're giving him all this stuff. And as God should, because Job feared God, just like you, you fear God, you put God first. I mean, this is how it works. But then God said, you know, Satan said, yeah, you're doing all this. And then that's when God says, okay, I'll remove that for a season, temporarily. I will allow him. God's not starting it. God is not the author of it. But I will allow him to be tested. And Job endured great suffering. But what if Job could have read that beforehand like we get to read it? Do you see? That's what it's saying here. It's saying, look, you can kind of know what's going on with a lot of things in your life. It says, Job, a man of great endurance, you can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end. For the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. Aren't you glad we serve a merciful God? Look at this. Here's what we do. Here's what we're going to do at the end of the service in just a few moments. I love this. James chapter 5:13, it says, are any of you suffering hardships? Come on, let's all do it together. Let me just... Look, watch this. If you're not, because some of you are in the next category. Okay, so let's just do this. Don't worry, if you're suffering hardships, you're not weird. Anything like that. You're just a human being on planet Earth, okay? Are any of you suffering hardships? Wow. Put them down. Look what it says. You should pray. Is that it? Well, what do you mean? Where's the formula, man? Where's the... No, you should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Because guess what? Next week we could come back and all of you that said you were happy, you could raise your hand for hardships. And all of you that raise your hands from hardships, you'll be happy and you'll be looking that way. I'll be, ha ha, it's on you now. No. Remember, this is happy, not joyful. See, you can endure hardships. That's what we've been talking about. You can endure hardships and still be joyful. Happy has to do with your outward circumstances. It's not talking about the inward joy that Jesus gives us regardless of the hardships and things that we're going through. It's talking about happiness. It's like, man, things are, you know, on the outward, things are pretty good right now. You should sing praises. Look at this. Are any of you sick? A few of you in here. Okay. Rejoice. Might be different next. If any of you sick, you should call for the elders of the church. That's just another word for pastors. Elder of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick. Doesn't say right away. Doesn't say suddenly. Doesn't say instantly. Just said will make you well. If you've committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. This is what we're doing at the end of the service when we go into that last worship song. And if you need to go, you can go. But if you want to experience God and respond to God, that's why we're going to have crosses on our left and right. You can go give your heart to Jesus there, or you can go there and repent of your sin. There are even garbage cans there. You can go there, and if you want to just write down an addiction, something you're struggling with, and repent of that thing and renounce it and throw it in that garbage can just as a symbolic act of deliverance, you can do that. Come on, if you got your drugs on you, you can just throw them away right now. And I know some of you in here are packing some stuff. Or maybe lighter. Maybe you just got your cigarettes, your smokes on you. Man, you need to believe God to get set free from that stuff. You need to throw them away, man. We need you around for at least a few more years to help make an impact for God. So this is what we do. If you're sick, we'll have pastors here anointing you with oil, praying over you in the name of the Lord. It's just, or you can just come and pray. You can worship God. You can go to the cross. You can write down a prayer request for other people. And we'll be praying over them. You can keep it anonymous. You can put names on there. Look what it says here. Verse 17, it says, Elijah was a human as we are. Now, this is not Elisha. This is another man of God, Elijah. It was actually Elisha's mentor. Elijah was a human as we are, yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, everybody say again. When he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. If you follow that story once again, Elijah, he's praying. Here's the problem. There's no food. There's no water. The earth needs to produce a crop so people can have substance and be healthy. So Elijah now is praying that rain would come and end this famine. He prays, nothing happens. The Bible says he prays 7 times, and all of a sudden, there's a little puff of smoke. That's it. It's just a tiny cloud. But right then, that's kind of when his faith rose up. He saw just the little change, little by little. He just saw a sign that God was moving. He's like, that's it. He keeps praying. All of a sudden, it's more clouds, and then it's rain, and then it's several storms, and then it softens the earth, and then the earth receives the rain, and then the crops come up. And then eventually, people get food. But watch. It started with praying 7 times and then just a little puff of smoke. We have a problem in our lives. We just want to say, it would be like Elijah just praying, God, in this drought. And all of a sudden he turned around and like a big corn stalk grow up. God, in this. And all of a sudden he turned around and here's this apple tree and all this fruit and all this kind of stuff. That's not how it works. God works through process. Many miracles come through process. Dreams get resurrected through process. Breakthroughs come through process. You've got to fight the good fight of faith. You've got to endure hardship as a good soldier. You've got to not grow weary in well-doing. You've got to keep on keeping on. You've got to know that your home's not here anyway. It's in heaven. We don't live for the temporal. We live for the eternal. Don't let your dream die. Believe God, and if that dream is from God in some way, in some form, maybe different than you thought, it will be resurrected. Last thing I want to finish here. Is anybody getting help today? Where am I going? I'm going to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Uh-oh, look out. Oh, yeah, I got 2 Bibles today. I'm going to this Bible. I'm going to read it upside down. Okay, I'm going to go to Hebrews. Chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Now, yes, you might have an addiction or a weakness or a besetting sin or something like that, but I want you to see the bigger context here. Okay, and that's a whole other thing I'd like to talk about someday is context, because it's not just knowing the Word of God, it's knowing how to apply it. Many times misapplication, we misapply the Scriptures in our life and we become discouraged that's a whole other message. Okay, so let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Now, this is relating to endurance here. And I believe many times that just unbelief, just giving up, just discouragement, just falling into being real negative and not believing God. I believe many times that for some people, that is the besetting sin. And in context here, it's talking about endurance. It's talking about keeping your eyes on the eternal. And it goes on to say, let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. In other words, God has written the story of your life. God is the author of your life. God has a path marked out for you. It's marked out. You have a purpose. It's like a path that God, he went out, he poured the concrete, he made the path, he wrote the story of your life. And he has called you to walk that out through trials, through hardships, through joys, through happiness. Is someone hearing what I'm saying? He's marked that out. He is the author, and guess what? It has a happy ending. He is the finisher. But look what it says here. It says, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, speaking of Jesus, who endured such opposition. Jesus had such opposition, so many trials, so many hardships. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In other words, Jesus never gave up on his mission, the dream that the Father gave him. You don't give up on your dream. And the key that you have to know is, if you have a cross, that's what Jesus said, whoever wants to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross. A cross is a hardship. It's something that we have to endure for a season. And the Bible says the way that Jesus endured the cross, guess what? He didn't fix his eyes on the cross. He didn't fix his eyes on how hard it was. He didn't fix his eyes on the pain, so to speak. He fixed his eyes for the joy that was set before him. He placed his heart on eternity, being with his Father forever, being with you and I forever, having an eternal family and the family of God. Jesus was not looking at the cross. He was looking at the joy that was set before him, the eternal, not the temporary. And many of us, when we face things, guess what? We're not fixing our eyes on the eternal. We're not fixing our eyes on Jesus. Our eyes are just fixed on the cross, the pain, the hardship, the problem. That cross is a real clear focus, and Jesus and heaven and eternity are kind of out of focus. And what God is saying is this, is the way that you prevail, the way that you overcome. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, be of good courage. I've overcome the world. Just as I have overcome, so will you. But you've got to keep your eyes on the eternal. In other words, when you're facing that cross needs to be, you know, like you see camera shots. It's right there, but guess what? It's a little bit blurry, but Jesus and heaven and the eternal are crystal clear. Come on, can I have an amen to that? And I want to wrap up this series today. Next week, we're going to be going into Mother's Day, be kicking off a series on choosing well. But I want to pray for you today. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. I want to pray for you today. And I want to pray above all that you will fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher, or the author and perfecter of your faith. Don't give up on your dreams. If that dream's from God, he is going to raise it. He's going to bring that dead dream back to life. Remember, things come little by little. Things are, man, this life is about process. When God created the world, it wasn't one day, it was 7 days. It was a process. The miracles. Remember when Jesus did the miracle of the guy, and Jesus was like, you see yet? He's like, well, it's kind of blurry. I see people, but they kind of look like trees. Come on, how many of you know you didn't want that brother driving a car? You know what I'm saying? Jesus prayed for him again. Then eventually he got his sight clear. Jesus was showing us something. Lots of people he prayed for and they got healed instantly. He's showing us something about as we go through life and the things that we're believing for, that we think God, that dream, that desire of our heart, those things worth fighting for, the marriage, the kids, who God's called you to be. You are not defined by your pain. You were defined by the Word of God as a child of God. That's why, what does it say? You get the first thing you have to do is line up mouth on mouth. You've got to line up your dream with what the Word of God says, not what your past says, not what your pain says. Not what your friends say, not what your enemies say. Just bow your head.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.